Some of the biggest names in tech are slated to speak with lawmakers today. We'll tell you why social media posts will be part of the conversation. Plus, as we focus on the presidential election, don't forget that control of the Senate is also on the line.
It's kind of an open battle right now, whether Republicans will be able to retain their majority or if Democrats will be able to win a narrow majority.
Our Capitol Hill reporter will tell us the key states to watch. And as coronavirus cases surge in some parts of the world, some countries are cutting back on quarantine time. It's Wednesday, October 28th. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. There was another night of protest in Philadelphia following the police killing of Black resident Walter Wallace Jr. Some demonstrations turned violent, and some people took advantage of the situation to loot stores. Police say they made more than 90 arrests, and 30 officers have been injured. Police say Wallace refused orders to drop a knife before they fired their weapons. His family's attorney said he was being treated for mental health issues. Hurricane Zeta is closing in on the Gulf Coast, a region already hit hard in this unusually busy hurricane season. It's forecast to come ashore near New Orleans tonight. A California power company has told regulators its equipment may have ignited one of the fast-moving wildfires in Orange County. The cause is under investigation, and Southern California Edison says it's cooperating with authorities. The chief executives of Facebook, Twitter, and Google have all been asked to appear before the Senate Commerce Committee later today. The Republican-led panel is focusing on how they monitor political content online. The Wall Street Journal's Ryan Tracy tells us what we can expect from both sides of the aisle.
Republicans are very likely to bring up what they view as a bias on social media by the operators of these social media platforms. They see that when Twitter and Facebook, for example, took action against the New York Post stories about the Biden family in recent weeks, that they were doing that with a liberal bias. They think that Silicon Valley operates that way. Democrats' main concern is the spread of false information on social media, and we expect them to ask about that. We expect them to push back against the accusations of anti-conservative bias that Republicans are going to make. And so in that sense, at least, the tech CEOs will have a friend in the room because Democrats will certainly back them on their denials of those claims.
The New York Post is owned by News Corp, which also owns The Wall Street Journal.
Dave Roberts. That's strike three. Dodgers have won it all in 2020.
The LA Dodgers are the new World Series champions, beating the Tampa Bay Rays in Game 6 last night. The reality of the pandemic was in the air as players celebrated LA's first title since 1988. After the game, it was revealed that Dodgers third baseman Justin Turner left mid-game after receiving a positive coronavirus test result. He did return to the field for post-game celebrations. A busy Wednesday for earnings. UPS, GE, and Boeing are among those reporting today, along with Visa and MasterCard. We'll also hear from Gilead Sciences and Amgen. Beyond quarterly earnings, investors have been placing their bets ahead of the election. Our markets columnist Mike Bird has more on what Wall Street is watching in the campaign.
One very interesting thing that's happening is relating to volatility, and investors often bet on what they expect volatility to be in the future, not just what volatility is at a given moment. And what that part of the market is suggesting at the moment is that people's expectations that the result of the election will be messy and uncertain and difficult in the weeks and months that follow, that expectation has actually declined quite sharply recently. You've got quite a lot more analysts and investors who expect that we might know a lot more about the results of the election much quicker than we'd expected, whether that's because there's a large victory on one side or not. People are less worried, seemingly, that this is going to be a drawn out, difficult affair. You can see that very clearly in how much investors are willing to pay for protection against volatility in the future. That's all people are looking at the moment.
Just ahead, voters won't just be deciding on their pick for president. We'll take a closer look at the battle for control of the Senate after a quick break. Whoever wins the White House will have to contend with Congress to get key parts of his agenda done. So it's important to look beyond the presidential contest to understand the key congressional races that could determine the country's direction, from a pandemic stimulus bill to taxes to the Supreme Court. Let's bring in the Journal's Andy Duren. He covers Capitol Hill. Andy, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So, Andy, let's look at the current landscape to start things out. Republicans control the Senate, the Democrats control the House. But looking ahead to Election Day and really beyond, could that configuration change?
So, Democrats are expected to hold on to their majority in the House and possibly even expand it, just given the political environment in many ways resembles 2018 when Democrats first took control of the House. So, there isn't a lot of question from either party about whether that chamber will change hands this fall. In the Senate, it's kind of an open battle right now whether Republicans will be able to retain their majority or if Democrats will be able to win a narrow majority. So, currently, Republicans control the Senate with 53 seats, and so Democrats have to flip at least a net of 4 seats to win a majority in that chamber. It becomes a little bit more complicated because if Democrats win the White House, then Democrats only need to flip a total of 3, and then they'll have the tie-breaking vote in the vice presidency, but if they lose the White House, they would need at least 4. And all of this, again, becomes a little bit more complicated because Democrats are likely to lose Alabama, which is a deep red state, which elected a Democrat for senator in 2017. And so they're really going to have to pick up 4 to 5 seats because they're almost guaranteed to lose one of them. So that's the landscape right now.
Andy, as you look across the country, where are the races you're watching to determine who controls the Senate next year?
So there are a couple of races right now where Democrats are favored to unseat Republicans right now. The main example of that is in Colorado, which is a state that, you know, voted for Hillary Clinton in 2016 and has kind of continued to trend blue in recent years. Beyond that, though, some of the most competitive states are Arizona, Maine, North Carolina is looking to be one of the most, possibly kind of the decisive race in all of this. If Democrats cannot win North Carolina, or if Republicans hold North Carolina, that could very well determine which party controls the chamber. Iowa is also seen as a very competitive race. And then there are a number of other options or in other places where Democrats are expanding the map or competing in a way that, you know, there are several different paths for Democrats to try and win the majority.
Let's talk about money. As we have seen over the years, the cost of campaigning has been skyrocketing, and this year in some parts of the country, it could be record-setting.
There have been several kind of records this year in terms of fundraising and spending in the Senate contests. North Carolina is on track to be the most expensive Senate race of all time. That's a state with several media markets and such that, you know, television spending does become pretty expensive pretty quickly.
Andy, is this a year we could see ticket splitting?
So it is possible that Senate candidates could outperform the presidential candidate of their party. But in most cases, and most of the polling suggests that, you know, voters, if they're going to vote for Joe Biden in North Carolina, they're also probably going to vote for the Democratic candidate, Cal Cunningham. Now, that's not to say that, you know, there actually are some Republicans who have started to make an argument about, you know, Republicans in some of these competitive states about how, you know, the importance of keeping the Senate Republican, even if Joe Biden wins, is kind of a check on his power. And, you know, in some ways that is almost an admission of the, you know, the Republican Party's odds in the White House. And, you know, to kind of start talking already about the importance of keeping the Senate if they lose the White House. But that said, I mean, you might see some, you know, ticket splitters on the margins. And I think it's possible you could see some ticket splitters both ways. But in general, I think you should expect to see, in the vast majority of cases, that the presidential race will reflect, you know, how the Senate race also goes in the vast majority of these cases.
Andy Duren covers Capitol Hill for the Wall Street Journal. Andy, thanks again.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, as we've been reporting, coronavirus cases have been surging in Europe, forcing authorities to tighten up restrictions. And they're dealing with a new challenge, quarantine fatigue, that's making people less likely to comply with self-quarantine orders. Many governments are making a surprising move. France, Spain, and Germany, and other countries are actually cutting the amount of days people need to quarantine after contact with a coronavirus carrier. The Wall Street Journal's Jason Douglas explains why.
What countries were finding was that people weren't quarantining for 14 days. They simply found it too long, particularly if they didn't really develop symptoms and start feeling sick. So they just found it became very disruptive. And so one of the reasons they're doing this is to improve compliance with the rules. Now, the thing there is, although the WHO says you should really do it for 14 days, what these country figures, they might actually get a better kind of effect in terms of managing the pandemic if they get more people to actually comply. So there's a risk that a few more cases might slip through if they reduce the length of time you've got to quarantine. But they think this will be offset by greater compliance.
And that's what's news for Wednesday. We'll be back tonight with a new show. If you like us, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.